Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
There's the whistle. Here's Kienda. And it's 1-1. Gotti Kienda with the first goal of 2021 for Sporting KC. And we're all level in Harrison, New Jersey. They have been all around the penalty area for the Red Bulls. Here they come again. Shelton putting it across. Shallowy taps it home. And it's 2-1. Just like that. Could that one-minute stretch where Sporting KC scored be the difference in the game? It will. There is the final whistle. Sporting KC come from behind on the road in a difficult place to play in Harrison, New Jersey, and the match winner by that man, Daniel Shallowy, has given SKC all 3 points in the season opener.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate Bucati. How about that opening weekend for Sporting Kansas City?
Great way to start things. Start off with a win. Start off with a win away from home. Show off some of your depth because you had some injuries to deal with, and the guys that all stepped up got the job done, and they got a big win.
Let's talk to Graham Zusi about it. Graham, good morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you guys?
Doing great. How is that for to start the season, to try to start with positive momentum, and like Nate said, get a big victory in that fashion on the road to start the season? That's got to be a huge boost to Sporting as they get ready to come home for their home opener.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I think that's a little bit of the energy we're looking for from Nate's call, but I think we still need a little bit more, right?
You'd like a little bit more. Again, here we go.
Shallowy scored. Should I have said he did it, Randy? Was that the opportunity?
What do you mean? I've told you this for the last 2 weeks, and then now you're asking me after the fact, and maybe that's because it was on the road at home. Like Graham says, we're gonna do this one more. Graham, thank you for being bold enough to step up and say this. We're going to give you one more sample. Graham's looking for this, and we're looking for this.
Come on, kid, do it.
He did it! He got the 7-10, Randy! He did it!
And don't look at me. Graham tells you.
So you tell me I wasn't excited enough on the Shallowy goal?
It was good enough, Graham, but there's... Look,
I mean,
you guys...
two in 1 minute.
You guys won...
did that, Nate?
You guys won one match. You guys going to stop working? You guys gonna stop practicing? Stop preparing? Stop training? No. Right. You can always get better.
I need to get better.
Nate can get better, can he, Graham?
I wouldn't have brought it up, but I didn't think so.
Right. That's right.
I mean, it's true. You're right, because that's the first time that's ever happened in my time.
I've been appreciate this constructive criticism, Graham Zusi.
I do appreciate it. Look, that's what I need. I need tough love. And mm-hmm. And now that Jake points it out, that was the first time. So I've been calling the Sporting games. This is my 7th year. And that was the first time in the 7 years I've been doing the games that Sporting have scored in back-to-back minutes. Did you know that, Graham? The first time since 2007. So I probably should have given it a... No, he did it, Randy. I should have probably done
something.
But anyway, yeah, to answer your actual question, yeah, that was a massive, massive 3 points to start the season. And the way that we did it was... I think it showed a lot about the group as well. To go down on the road is a difficult thing, and the response that we had was fantastic. To get a goal back so quickly after they scored, and then to continue to push to get the winner as well, was huge. And then to close out the game towards the end as well. Can't say enough about the guys' mentality going into that game and during it, and just a solid 3 points to start the season. Look, there was obviously room to improve. It's that game showed a lot of first game of the year signs, but I think as the game went on, we grew into the game and we sorted it out. You know, we learned from the first, you know, maybe 15, 20, 30 minutes of the game, and we grew into the game and took care of the business.
So, Graham, for our audience, the part of our audience that maybe not be diehard soccer fans that might want to know, when the team gives up that goal, the first goal in the 48th minute to the Red Bulls, and they fall behind 1-0, all of a sudden, and we talked about it a lot during the broadcast, Sporting looked like they flipped a switch. They looked like a different team, and they were creating chances, and they were flying forward, and the goals were not like some kind of fluke. It seemed like this is exactly what Sporting deserves from the way they've been playing. How do things change so drastically after that goal? Why do things change so drastically after that goal?
Yeah, I think so much of the game early on was the teams kind of feeling each other out. Obviously, New York came in with a game plan like we talked about of the high press, fast in the attack, maybe play a lot of long balls in behind. And we were certainly just kind of sniffing that out and I guess maybe, biding our time to find a weakness in what they were throwing at us. So once they scored, we kind of had to push a little bit more, and it was a bit of a flip of a switch for us. The fact that we had to go and kind of chase the game a little bit. And the good thing about that is that we knew and we had kind of shown some flashes in the first half. You know, I thought Daniel was doing a really good job at kind of getting in behind that right back, and his runs the whole game were there, but we weren't necessarily finding him in the first half. And as the game opened up a little bit and they got their first goal and we had to push a little bit more, we were finding him there. We were getting down the right side as well and whipping balls in the box and looking dangerous. And because of that, the goal was came.
Well, let's see if Jake's excited about this, Graham. With Tim Melia out injured, he had a 19-year-old, the youngest Sporting goalkeeper to play in an MLS match, and the youngest MLS goalkeeper to win a game since 2010. That's very impressive. So that's a clutch performance. We talked about the team still battling through some injury. I mean, there you go right there. That's someone stepping up and coming through with a big performance.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought John played very well for that being his first match, and also just for how young he is. I mean, he certainly doesn't look 19, does he?
No.
But anyway, no. I thought Johnny plays very well. You could just see his adrenaline flowing throughout that whole game. And I pulled him aside yesterday and was like, "Hey, Johnny, you know, when we're winning 2-1, maybe let's not run as fast as we can behind the goal to get the ball for a goal kick." Waste a little bit of time. He's like, "Man, I don't even know. It was all blur. I was running on adrenaline." But I totally get it. But it was just, it made me laugh during the game. And he's a player beyond his years for sure, and he's got a long career ahead of him.
It's funny that you say that because I remember that specific moment in the second half. You know, Sporting's trying to kill the game off. And so at that point in time, usually, Steven, you're trying to stall for time, and the goalkeeper's going to take as much time as he possibly can to take a goal kick. The ball goes behind the goal, and he goes sprinting because they don't have ball kids still because of the COVID situation. They're just little soccer balls sitting on stands in random places around the field. And he goes sprinting back there to grab one. And, you know, Jacob Peterson, who I'm doing the game with, is we're sitting in a studio in Liberty, Missouri, but he's, like, waving his hands like, "Slow down,
yeah,
slow
take
down.
Your time, man."
And you can tell some of his teammates did, too, because he came running back to put it down, and all of a sudden he kind of like, "Oh, yeah, maybe.
Let's go, guys. Come on, come on, come on."
Jake, is you're our goalkeeping insider. What about how would a 19-year-old Jake Gutierrez have handled such tremendous responsibility? You can understand his excitement.
I would have taken my sweet time at anything I did, but it blows. I did not know he was that young. 19? Damn.
He looks like he's 35. Right?
I mean, that's unbelievable.
I can relate. I look like I've looked like I was 35 since right. I was like 13 14. Years old, so I understand. But that's still very impressive when you find out that that's the youngest sporting goalkeeper to play in an MLS match and the youngest goalkeeper to win a game in the MLS since 2010.
Right. You know, and it's more of a comment on Tim Million, how you know, consistent that he's been in terms of being available, because they haven't really needed somebody to step in for him that often. So to have a 19-year-old be ready and you know, solid performance, gets the W and anchors that defense down, that's quite a task for a 19-year-old.
You know, Jake's our goalkeeper, Graham. Could you come in and settle him down maybe every now and again? Because he needs it. I mean, it sounds like you...
Like he's on it with these morning meditations. I think he can come. So far.
All right, I see.
Nowadays, I mean, back in... You know,
there are some times when he could use a steady hand or some advice from you,
Nate would
Graham.
Have to come in here and say, hey, why don't you leave that microphone off?
Right, yeah.
That's true. Hey. That's actually a true statement. Hey, I'm saying this because I love you, buddy, but I think maybe you want to sit this one out today. those were in the past, though.
Here we are.
You know, but to go back to Amelia, Graham, and you're one of the veterans on this team now, and you talked to Pulse Camp too, but Pulse Camp told me last week that, you know, he started at the LA Galaxy as a part of their academy. He told some hilarious stories about what their living situation was there, by the way. But then he went to Bournemouth in England before he came to Kansas City, and he said pretty much everywhere he had been, the number one goalkeeper would kind of treat you like, you know, they wouldn't give you the time of day when you were a young, up-and-coming goalkeeper. Part of that probably because they view you as a threat, but also part of it because you're just a young guy that might not ever, you know, do a thing at the first team level. And he said Tim was the first, you know, number one goalkeeper he's ever been around who actually coaches him and talks to him about how to approach things in the weight room, how to approach things on the field. And you know Tim better than any of us. Does that surprise you to hear that about Tim?
Not in the least. Timmy's such a selfless guy. Hearing that doesn't surprise me at all. You know, I think that says a lot about the culture we've created at this club, what's been, you know, the people, the kind of people that Peter and the staff bring in. They're very much a team first mentality kind of group, and we care so much about the culture of the club while we're here and when we're not here. So hearing that about Timmy again is just, it's not surprising at all.
And we're visiting with Graham Zusi. All right, Graham, the home opener is coming up on Friday night, 6:30 at Children's Mercy Park, and it's against Orlando City. If I remember correctly, I think you're from Orlando. Is that right?
I am. Yeah,
I should probably know the history better than this, but Orlando City was a good soccer organization before they ever even got to MLS. But I don't know, were they around as a lower division club when you were growing up or anything? Do you have any relationship with the team in that regard?
No. So Orlando City, when they were in USL, was basically just, they came from Austin, the Austin Aztecs.
Yeah.
And I was long gone by then. We did have a kind of like a semi-pro team called the Orlando Lions back in the day. So I guess that's kind of where you get the lion from.
Yeah.
In their crest, but yeah, I was a diehard fan of the Orlando Lions back in the day, and would always go out to see the games.
So, what do you think of this matchup? As they finally made the playoffs last year for the first time, and Oscar Pareja, their head coach, is somebody you guys know well because of his time at FC Dallas. Nani's a big name coming to town as well. What do you think of the matchup between yourselves in Orlando City, a team that you won't get to see that often going forward, right? Because they're in the East.
Yeah, I think Orlando's just a much improved team from their past years. I think Oscar's a very good coach, and he's got them, you know, playing a style that's attractive and effective, obviously. And They have guys like Nani. I'm not sure if we're going to see Pato. I think I saw him come off with an injury this past week. They're a team that has just a lot of confidence from the past couple of years, and they're a dangerous team. They are. They've got solid players in all positions, and they can really hurt you on the attack as well. So. We're going to need a solid week of training leading up to this game. It's a little bit of a shortened week with it being a Friday game, but that just means training's going to be a little bit shorter and sharp leading up to it. But, I'm looking forward to, first and foremost, get a game back at home. I've missed going to that stadium. It's been a long off season, and can't wait to get into Children's Mercy Park in front of what fans we can have. Can't wait to see their faces out there and hear them.
Friday Night Lights. And Graham, I know you guys said you'll be focused, shorter week of training. We'll make sure that Nate is focused. We'll go through some vocal exercises with him. We'll have him listen to that call several more times. And so it's okay. I want you to expect more and greater things from Nate on Friday, okay?
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
We'll be after him. Thank you, Graham. That's Graham Zusi, who joins us every week. Don't be offended. He wants the best out of you. I mean,
Iron sharpens iron.
I'm not offended.
That's great,
he
Nate.
He wants
enough.
You to be your best.
That's all we expect from you. You know?
No, I'm not offended at
he
all.
He expects more.
Want to surround yourself in life with people that push you to be the best version of yourself.
He's
that
got
you
a
can.
High standard for you, man. You should be flattered.
I am. You know, Graham's mom and dad is not a surprise. They're like two of the nicest people you'll ever meet. And they will offer me some critiques on the broadcast sometimes when they come to town. And they're usually very, very complimentary, but they have thoughts, and I appreciate that, you know? And Graham, you're pushing me to be better.
The Zusis, as a family, want the best for you. Jake, how could you have Jake's taking a phone call right now, but I'm still going to talk to him. Would Jake G, a 19-year-old goalkeeper, how would you have handled that type of pressure? Because, again, you're very surprised that he said he didn't look 19. I mean,
I would have probably fallen on my face. But I will say something to what Nate was talking about, 10 million.
Because say it.
I was not the nicest to any of the freshmen that were coming in while I was.
So you would not have been a Tim Melia-type mentor to a youngster.
Put it this way. I led by example because there was nobody who was going to outwork me. And I made sure that, like, my junior and senior year, there was nobody who outworked me.
There was no one that was going to learn anything from you because you were unwilling to share anything.
But that's what the goalkeeper coach's job was. Not mine.
Well, so you take the, when it comes to mentoring a young player at your position, you take the Roethlisberger approach. You're not an Alex Smith guy. You like the Roethlisberger approach.
In high school, I was better.
I'm not going to help him. No.
Yeah. I was screw better him. In high school. One of my good friends in high school. I mean, he played behind, you know, Alan Mayer's son, Kenny Mayer, was my backup for several years at Aquinas.
You treat him like crap,
no,
too?
No, I didn't. He was my buddy. But then when I got to college.
Because of his dad.
Because he was a cool. I got along with him well. I like Kenny a lot, but in college,
sucking
it was
up
like,
Alan Mayer is what was going on. I'm telling people what actually the case was. So now go ahead.
I genuinely like the Mayer family. So, but
you didn't like
college,
these people in Western Illinois,
no,
though, did
it,
you?
It was more of a job in college. At Aquinas, it was like a family. Honestly.
But in Western Illinois, they're trying to take your job. You don't want them to take your job.
I was on scholarship year to year. I didn't want my tuition taken away from me.
A few times your scholarship was up in the air.
It
so
was
you,
almost
not
every spring. Every spring. It was up in the air. My coach was like, if you're, you know, because I would, I would not, go, I was like, I was not, I'm not stupid. Yeah, you know, I'm dumb, but I'm not stupid.
Right. I agree.
So every fall, I would not go to class and I wouldn't do my work. I wouldn't show up to study hall and I would like usually have below a 2.0.
Okay.
And then the spring would come around and the coach would be like, you're about to lose your scholarship eligibility wise. And so I'd get like a 3.2 or a 3.4 to bring my grade point average up. And I did that almost every year, and it was infuriating for my coach. But
and anyone beneath you in the depth chart, you tell me, hey, this isn't personal, this is business.
No, yeah. I mean, there were several different times they brought freshmen in, and I was not.
But when you take them to the poop cooler, that was personal.
Well, that was the ODP.
That was a camp.
Yeah, that was a camp. That was a summer camp. Yeah. We're pooping around, you know?
We have
Jamal.
Right. Well, Jamal, if you're out there, Jake officially apologizes.
You know what? That's Elson Seal's son.
Oh no.
So now we feel okay. Mr. Overtime.
Oh,
Jamal. Mr. Overtime.
Jamal Elson Seal.
Mr. Overtime Elson Seal. Now we know
that
this Comets legend, his son, had his cooler pooped in by Jake at soccer camp.
Yeah, well, it's Chris Cunningham.
Every time he tells that story, there's a different layer that he didn't tell before. Yeah. Now it's Elson Seal's son. I feel like that should have been said right at the beginning.
Did you know that he was my favorite player as a kid?
Now he feels even better about taking a dump in his son's cooler.
Elson's a great guy. I played for Elson for several years, but I was an incorrigible kid.
It sounds like it.
Pat West and Chris Cunningham conned me.
Yeah, they conned you. blame them.
Into pooping in Jamal's cooler.
Yeah, well. On that note, let's go to Gary Lezak after this on WHB.